You're listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by the team at Food Matters Live. Welcome to the podcast that showcases the innovations, the big ideas, and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future, and we question everything that we think we know about food. I'm Stefan Gates, I'm a food science writer, I'm a TV presenter, and a gastronaut. This episode is made in partnership with Edlong, and today we're focusing on plant-based dairy. Plant-based milks have existed in some form or other for centuries, but alt dairy products have really taken off in the West in particular over the last few decades. Last year, a Bloomberg Intelligence report estimated that the global market for dairy alternative milk could grow to more than $60 billion by 2030. But this isn't just about milk. There's dairy-free cheese, ice cream, pretty much everything really. But how is the sector evolving and what challenges will that evolution create? And crucially, how does consumer messaging evolve as the products and techniques used to make them move forward? Well, with me to discuss the fast-paced world of dairy alternatives are three fantastic experts. We have Jessa Friedrich, who's the Digital Marketing Manager at Edlong. Hello there, Jessa.
Hi, Stefan. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. We've also got Julie Drainville. She has an extensive background in food science and leads all of Edlong's sensory functions globally as the company's sensory manager. Hello there, Julie.
Hi, Stefan. Thanks for having me.
That's fantastic of you. And Ashley Sabo is a research and development senior food scientist at Edlong working in the applications lab. Hello, Ashley.
Hi, Stefan. Glad to be here.
Ah, fantastic. Okay. Well, Ashley, let's start with the big question. What's next in the evolution of plant-based?
Well, in the plant-based world, it started out kind of in the vegan realm, where vegan is kind of a polarizing term. So it has slowly evolved more into flexitarians who are still health conscious and looking to bring in a variety of foods into their diet. But moving on to the next level is sustainability. And with that, it's also bringing a whole bunch of different alternative dairy products from things like cell-based, cultured, alternative dairy foods.
Okay. And Jessa, what do you see as the next stage in the evolution of plant-based?
Yeah, I think that's a question that's on a lot of developers' minds right now. You know, if you think about the industry going from vegan, which started is very fringe and very health focused, which, you know, even so much so that it kind of carried a stigma with it that was almost off-putting for mainstream consumers, to then the plant-based era where it evolved to focus more on taste and accelerated its popularity among consumers, even to the point where it created a whole new subset of these flexitarians, to now seeing more of an evolution towards more sustainable alternatives like cultured, fermented, cell-based, and even hybrid products, you know, products that are mostly alternative ingredients, but do have some of that dairy in them still. And so, I think Ashley can speak really well to the different challenges that are going to come with that as the space evolves.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about science. Julie and Ashley, maybe we could start with a very quick overview of the work that you guys do. Julie, if you can explain to us, what is your world?
Yeah, so, you know, as a flavor company, Edlong really touches so many different categories within the food industry. We reach a broad range of consumers. We work directly with food manufacturers to develop the taste of dairy. And we want to create that taste of dairy in our customers' products. So this doesn't really change when we're talking about plant-based or cell-based ingredients. We're still looking to bring in, you know, mimicking real dairy in not only just the taste, but also the functionality. So that could be like the mouthfeel, the fattiness that you get from real dairy products. And I mean, although it's the same, the approach can really still be challenging when we're talking about the plant-based ingredients.
And Ashley, quick overview of your work.
So generally, when we're working with our customers, we'll have a project come in and the customer will send us their base. We'll do an initial evaluation of it and taste it, see, you know, where they're at, if there's any off notes from the plant-based proteins or ingredients, or if they're just missing those characterizing dairy notes. From there, you know, we'll use a variety of our different flavors, usually layering in different top notes to try and make that authentic dairy profile. This is when I usually turn it over to Julie. So once I think I have something that's close, Julie will take it, put it through sensory testing to actually see that we are getting closer to the target that we want. We you know, might tweak it a little bit or, you know, try and improve some different notes. Once we've done all that, we send it back to the customer for their evaluation, and they'll do the same thing on their end. They'll taste it and usually put it through some sort of sensory. And if they're happy with it, they go ahead and buy our product. Otherwise, they might send it back and we might do some more iterations on it.
Okay, well, that sounds pretty clear. But at the same time, it must be pretty difficult as well, because, as I mentioned, there's a huge amount of evolution. The pace of change in the plant-based world is enormous. So what are the particular challenges that you face, Ashley?
Yes. So specifically in the plant-based world, you know, texture and authentic dairy taste are always going to be challenges that we have. It's a struggle that, you know, we're trying to take a product, a plant-based thing, and make it the same as the dairy product. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways of going about trying to mimic the taste as well as get that authentic dairy taste back into these plant-based products. But it's really trying to think outside the box and change how consumers are looking at these products, that it shouldn't be exactly like the dairy product, because they're not, but trying to enjoy the experience of what you're eating.
Yeah, so I think we can take some of those things that we know about dairy that people love and add some of that into the plant-based products. So when we're working with something like a plant-based milk, you have other ingredients that we're looking to add in. So the base is almond. You know, consumers might buy almond milk because they like the taste of almonds. So we don't always just want to cover that up. We might want to enhance it by adding in some of the things that people love about dairy and then pairing that with what they're looking for in the plant-based.
Okay, so Jessa, let's bring you in here, because I think you know both Ashley and Julie mentioned the sort of changing nature of the consumer and their expectations and why they're buying plant-based. So communication with consumers is obviously going to be key as this area evolves, especially it involves more science and the communication of science, because that can be really challenging for consumers, can't it? How do you see the messaging changing as the alt dairy space expands beyond just plant-based?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there's so much opportunity, right? So it only makes sense that as the space evolves, the communication with consumers needs to as well. And as you can tell, even just by listening to what Julie and Ashley have been saying, the development of these alternatives are much more scientific in nature, much more technical, and they're opening up new doors for innovation that really hasn't been seen before. And I think that's where the challenge is going to be when we try to talk to consumers. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the key is really going to be, how do we present a story to consumers that's kind of less about, oh, this was cooked up by a mad scientist in the lab, and something that really makes it more tangible for them, like bringing it back to the natural ingredients that are in it that they're already comfortable with. And I think we're going to see a little bit of a shift too, going from what Ashley was mentioning in the plant-based space, where it's very focused on taste and replicating the authenticity of a real dairy or animal-based product, to moving into something where we're more innovative and something where we're trying to take consumers to a great eating experience, not necessarily just replicating something that already exists.
Hello there, only me. I just want to break into the conversation to say that if you're enjoying this episode, then once it's finished, you might want to check out our series looking at the many varied job roles available in the food industry. Just go to foodmatterslive.com and search Career Conversations. And now, back to the chat. So Ashley, I mean, if we look at the market for this and we look at specific plant-based products, how do you see these products becoming more mainstream? How is that going to unfold?
There's a couple different things that contribute to what is going to help it become mainstream. Cost is always obviously an issue that they're looking at, but also acceptance and comfort from the consumer. You know, when you put something out on the market, the consumer acceptance of it and how willing they are to buy and understand, you know, what they're buying and eating is a huge part of it.
If I could add something, Justin and I, we attended Future Food Tech last month in San Francisco, and this really resonated with me, things that I heard there. So, you know, over and over again, we heard about taste, and that's nothing new to us in the food industry. If consumers don't like something, they're not going to buy it again. But then there was also a panel where Maggie from Nobel Foods spoke, and she spoke so passionately about like reducing the cost of these more sustainable foods, because in order to reach, you know, mainstream consumers, we have to be able to make that environmental impact like on a larger scale. Mm. I thought that was really meaningful. And so afterwards, Justin and I were talking about, well, if taste is king, then cost is queen. And I've been thinking about that over and over again, and I love it. But I also thought, Edlong is a woman-owned flavor company, and obviously we have, you know, a lot of strong women here. So I wanted to also make the point that, you know, the queen is not always number two. So sometimes the queen is number one, right? And king is number two.
Yeah. And so, Jessa, this is really interesting because when cost begins to change, I guess the perception of products changes from that these things are premium to being popular. And that's a big shift. So are there any brands that you feel are already leading the way as far as this changing consumer messaging goes?
Definitely. In my opinion, I've seen a couple out there, and I've kind of been poking around on their websites a little and watching some of the marketing they've put out. But I think Nature's Find and Perfect Day are two that come to mind for me. You can see, if you do jump on their website, they have really great videos on there that take the science and they simplify it so that it's very understandable to a consumer, but also highlights those benefits that consumers are looking for, like that sustainability element. Still the taste element and the health element, those are always going to be there. But it's just interesting to see, you know, how they're taking the science, making it simpler, and even the communication channel that they're using to do that. Both of them have videos, which I think is a great way to keep the information engaging, but also kind of make the science side of it more digestible. And then at the same time, keeping it a little bit more emotional when it comes to those things that people really value, like sustainability or like their health, health for themselves and for the planet.
Okay, so within all of this change, Julie, how can companies ensure that they're putting the best products out there to meet the particular consumer demand that's changing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really just talking to your consumer, understanding your consumer, looking beyond what they want right now into like what you could help them in the future, and then kind of balancing all of those things, because, you know, the messaging is so important, the sustainability piece, as I mentioned, the taste, you know, the cost. We really need to find, you know, things that work on all of those platforms.
So, Jessa, from a communication standpoint with consumers, what do you think will stay, and what will the industry need to develop new messaging around? Because, as you say, with the perceptions changing and cost changing, these are fundamental for what the message is, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we're never going to see it stray away from, as Julie mentioned, taste. Taste is going to be king. So communicating that the taste is still there, the health value is still there. But I think where we're going to see the shift is more of a focus on sustainability and really pushing that message forward. And when I think about what's next, it's going to be more about the experiences that people can get out of these products rather than just, again, trying to replicate, you know, if it's a cheddar cheese, we're trying to replicate and recreate a cheddar cheese. Instead, it'll be, I'm going to sit down with a nice glass of wine. What would go good with this? And it's not necessarily, you know, a cheese name that you're familiar with, but it's just a good eating experience that you can have.
Mm. But painting the whole picture around it at the same time.
Yes.
So, Ashley, what are the big challenges then for plant-based and alt-dairy foods?
So right now, a lot of the challenges are obviously the texture and flavor of these alternative products. You know, a lot of times they might have different plant-based proteins or starches or oils that are providing off notes that, you know, wouldn't normally be there in an authentic dairy product. So, you know, we work a lot with either masking those or using our flavors to overcome those different off notes that you might not want in the end product. Those are always continuous challenges in the plant-based products.
Mm. And are there any examples that you've got of cases where you've helped customers succeed and launch in this space with their own particular issues or their own particular messages that they need to communicate?
Definitely. You know, we work with a variety of different customers. there's one case where a customer has an ingredient, like a specific protein that, you know, they wanted to help promote and taste better. So we were helping develop demos for them to get that out there and to show it to their customers. And it actually became so successful with, you know, from the start working with them and their protein that it got tasted good enough and people liked it. And the consumer testing showed that there was a place for this, that they ended up actually themselves taking it to market. So we then worked with them and their co-packers to actually make this product and put it out in the shelves in the supermarket.
Fantastic. And Julie, any sort of stories of evolving products from you?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, from my standpoint, you know, I work along with Ashley and our chemists to make sure that the flavors that we add to our customers' products are performing in the way that we want them to. So I help to, you know, make adjustments. So if we have added a milk flavor, we test it in the product and then make sure that, you know, everybody is getting those milk notes that we're looking for, or the functionality piece of, you know, a fattier mouthfeel, things like that. And so then we are able to validate with data to show that our flavor is moving the product in the direction that the customer is looking for.
Hmm. So Julie, my last question really is just about the more complicated issues of supply chain. So, you know, problems and various different issues have become abundant in the plant-based and dairy alternative space. What's Edlong doing to support its customers in this area?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're seeing so much of this right now. One thing that comes to mind is that we've been looking at sunflower oil. As many of the listeners probably know, one of the biggest suppliers of sunflower oil globally is in Ukraine. So we're looking at what kind of oils you could swap out with that. One that is seeming to work well is rapeseed oil in Europe, which is canola here in the U.S., and so we're looking at how that varies. And the rapeseed in Europe is quite different from what we see as our canola oil. So it might not be the same solution that works, you know, globally, but we're looking at different flavors that can mask and kind of rebalance the notes. In the rapeseed gives some bitterness and a lot stronger oil notes. So how can we overcome those things in finished product? And then what the difference is in the U.S., you know, it's a little bit cleaner, the canola, so we don't have as much masking to do, but there's still some functionality differences and still some slight taste challenges to overcome. So things like that, you know, Edlong's looking at a bit proactively. But yeah, anything like that, we would, you know, be happy to work with people on.
Yeah, so complex world with complex issues and needs innovative solutions, doesn't it? Ashley, do you have anything to add to what Julie said?
Yeah, just as Julie is saying, since we are a global company, we are able to help companies when they're changing out their ingredients, you know, to very specifically different areas. If Europe has a different off note than the US or even Mexico, we're able to tailor to those areas, you know, the correct profile or what is needed to help those different companies and those different ingredients.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, huge amount of complexity within this industry, and the pace of change must be extraordinary. Well, Jessa, Julie and Ashley, thank you so much for joining me. I hope you enjoyed this episode made in partnership with Edlong. If you did, there are hundreds more at foodmatterslive.com. For example, for another edition featuring Edlong, where we discussed all things plant-based cheese, and I even got to try a few samples, just go to the site and search Getting the Flavour Right. Follow to get every episode freshly delivered to you on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And thank you so much for listening.